Well, my name is Dania. They call me Betum. I'm from Spicy Nipples. Like the description is a transfeminist network from Puerto Rico dedicated to tell stories. But we are like a spaceship. That's what I think Spicy Nipples is for, like a spaceship, like traveling to the multiverse, creating all this stuff that we want to do, the way we want to communicate, creating new languages and new forms of telling our stories. And one of the things that I'm most proud of the work that we do is that we are trans black led. Mm-hmm. We are like maybe the only black trans led organization in Puerto Rico. And we prioritize black lives everywhere we go, especially in the islands. And when we say islands, because Puerto Rico is an archipelago, it's just not one island, it's like three small islands. And so to us, to talk about poverty is to talk about racism, to talk about climate justice is to talk about racism, to talk about violence, gender violence is to talk about racism, to talk about economic injustice, to talk about our bodies, our autonomy, is to talk about trans black issues. And this thing that we have, it says aborto libre, like free abortion. This is a campaign for abortion in Puerto Rico, which is illegal. In our civil code, in our criminal code, but it's legal because it's a federal law. So that's what happens in the colony. And if it becomes illegal here in Puerto Rico, we could be jailed for up to 3 or 5 years. So when we're talking about that, we're talking about black trans issues. So in Spicy Nipples, for us, it's very important to put the race topic in the center of the conversations, because when we're talking about occupied territory and colony, we're talking about black bodies, especially in the Caribbean. So we do a lot of amazing work. I invite you to go to our website. And one of the things that we were able to do this year is to expand our network and get to work with people with like Pangea PR, Matrilineo, Entre Putes. And to us, that's the center of the work that we do, is empowering the people in the islands to do the work, to do it themselves, because we don't need to cover everything. But just to make the resources available to them, to us it means everything. And when we mean resources, we mean money, access to funding, our contacts, our networks, bringing people here to these spaces. To us, that means everything, because the conversation we need to have now is about power. What does power look like in our communities? What do we need in order to exercise that power in ways that are healing and conducive to our better life, to ourselves? And like Mora said, we want to do this work now for us. And so now we're gonna play, and we're gonna close with this. I don't think we're taking more than the time that we were supposed to. But this gonna do a second song in Cuembe, which is a more move rhythm, more happy. We call it sandunga, you know, the people who know perreo. This is like perreo but in bomba. So if you're feeling yourself, get up. So my Puerto Rican people, to the sex siren queens, stand up. And this song is called La Yuca. And we picked up this song because La Yuca, or cassava, mandioca, cassave, tapioca, it's one of the siembras, one of the crops, that when we go through hurricanes, earthquakes, one of the last thing that nourishes us, it comes from our ancestor. So preserving that tradition of la siembra, of agriculture, is for us like life and death, literally. So we wanted to honor La Yuca, Casabe, our ancestors, and everybody needs to sing this chorus because it's super easy. It goes, Yuca, La 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 Yuca. We got it. La Yuca. Okay, let's do it. La Yuca. La yuca y la yuquilla, ¿quién puede más? Ay, ¿quién puede más? Ay, ¿quién puede más? Si la yuca se remueve, ¿quién puede más? Ay, ¿quién puede más? Ay, ¡ay!
Saludos otra vez. Lorán Yeliz de Pangea, Matrilineo. ¿Verdad? Si entendí bien la pregunta, ¿verdad? Cosas que me emocionan en cuanto a, ¿verdad?, mi trabajo. Pues mira, ahora mismo, ¿verdad?, o en este momento, lo más que me emociona trabajar es conmigo. Yo creo que, ¿verdad?, particularmente en Puerto Rico, estos últimos 7 años, no hemos descansado de responder a los desastres políticos principalmente, ¿verdad? Así que muchas veces estamos somatizando cosas en nuestros cuerpos, aprendiendo, ¿verdad?, cómo comunicarnos mejor, cómo manejarnos. Así que después de tantos años respondiendo, estando en un constante estado de emergencia, poder tomar una pausa para trabajar, ¿verdad?, con la culpa, con las emociones, con el trauma, pues por lo menos para mí es algo que está siendo como bien pertinente ahora. En Puerto Rico particularmente, la respuesta ante los desastres son brindadas no tan solo por personas negras, sino también, ¿verdad?, por personas trans, no binarias, por mujeres. Así que muchas veces, ¿verdad?, son personas como nosotras, quienes estamos constantemente respondiendo. Así que para mí, ahora mismo, una cosa que está siendo bien pertinente es poder asumir y promover los espacios de descanso, los espacios de encuentro, los espacios donde podamos ventilar, donde podamos aprender cómo manejar el estrés, etc. Así que nada, por ahí va la cosa ahora mismo.
My name is Dania. I'm from Spicy Meatballs from Puerto Rico. I talked earlier a little bit about the work that we do. I want to talk a little bit about the history of how we came here, because we started about 8 years ago. And when we started, we came from different points of organization, like the student movements. Some people came from the labor movement. Some people came from just organizing their communities. But one of the things that were very important to us was to uplift the voices and the experiences of people who did not live in San Juan, in the metro area of Puerto Rico, where is all the help, all the accessibility needs, all the healthcare, everything you can get on San Juan. Outside of San Juan, which I'm not from San Juan, there's not even one abortion clinic. There's no clinics for transition. There are no funding given to that part of where we are. So that to us was really important, especially because we started the year just before Hurricane Maria. And Hurricane Maria completely changed not only the landscape of the island, but changed the way we work, organize, and our priorities as a community. So one of the things that we were able to do, thanks to the experience of Hurricane Maria, was to really understand that we were the people doing the work and we're the people that were receiving the most violence, especially from the places we were organizing from. So that pushed us to organize ourselves. And instead of just being a queer Black movement, we are a national movement on Puerto Rico led by Black queer people, which is very different in a sense, because the language want to make us just identity politics, but we are the politics itself in breathing, living form. So that's what Spicy Meatballs eats here for, especially in the islands, to remind us every day that we are the power, that we are the work, that we are the way. So in that sense, we've been able to, for us, it was very important to leave the people that we were Black, we were trans, we were sex workers, we were living in San Juan. So when the pandemic came, and the COVID, we had the earthquakes and all of that happening. One of the things that was very important to us was to go to the streets and talk to people. And that's why are one of our main way of organizing storytelling, because storytelling can change the world. So because we didn't even know what we were going through, we didn't even know our neighbors, we didn't know our communities, and we went out there, we found the same thing. Most people were trans, most people were sex workers, so it was the same things, the same identities, the same struggles we were in, but we didn't know exactly what we need because we didn't took the time to listen to ourselves. We were just listening to the politicians, we were just reading the reports of the reports of the reports, we were just giving all the information that comes from the United States that doesn't represent the reality of us living in the islands. And one of the things we found through Maria, because we didn't have internet, we didn't have phone, so we weren't able to communicate with nobody. It was like, I'll post something on the internet, oh, send me money through PayPal, where the hell am I going to get that money? Yeah. Can't go to no ATM. So one of the main things for us was to understand that the networks that we need to build go beyond the United States and the diaspora and goes into our communities in the Caribbean. So that's one thing we're trying to really focus ourselves right now. But Angelisa had an amazing trip last year to Cuba, which was a gateway where we want to go and be more in touch with our Caribbean realities and build a network that can sustain us in our geographical area, literally. And another thing that was very important to us was cash money. During disaster, cash money is necessary, is important. So that's one of the things we were able to do, to distribute cash money to people so they can do whatever they want with it. We're not fiscalizing nobody, spending habits or whatever. So to us, that's the main thing of the work that we do as a network, just to build up those stories and continue to put ourselves to the front, our stories to the front, our funding into the hands of the people that are doing the work, which is the people that you see here.
Gracias.
Gracias.
Bueno, para mí, ¿verdad?, una de las cosas más importantes que me permitió, ¿verdad?, uno de los aprendizajes más importantes que me dio, no tan solo el huracán María, sino también los temblores, huracán Irma, huracán Fiona, ¿verdad? Porque hablamos de huracán María como ese momento trascendental, ¿verdad?, en la organización en Puerto Rico. Pero un año antes del huracán María, el Congreso de Estados Unidos impuso la Junta de Control Fiscal en Puerto Rico y comenzaron, ¿verdad?, todas las medidas de austeridad que ya veníamos arrastrando, ¿verdad?, desde los tiempos, ¿verdad?, que inició la colonia. Fui a identificarme como organizadora, ¿no? Para mí ha sido bien importante no tan solo identificar cuál es mi rol dentro de un ecosistema, sino también como escogerlo, asumir, ¿verdad?, desde una cuestión bien consciente. Yo creo que mi rol en cuanto a la respuesta rápida siempre ha sido el organizar la información en cuanto a las necesidades, ¿verdad? Hay algo que pasa cada vez que sucede algo en Puerto Rico, que pues muchas personas quieren apoyar, quieren, ¿verdad?, hacer trabajo comunitario, pero no necesariamente, ¿verdad?, sabemos cómo comenzarlo, por dónde agarrarlo. Pero para mí personalmente, pues siempre ha sido el poder organizar la información, ¿verdad? Por ejemplo, durante los temblores, un poco mi rol era conseguir la información de las comunidades, cuáles eran las necesidades de las comunidades, cuántas personas encamadas hay, ¿verdad? Cuántas niñas, lesbiejes, ¿verdad? Si son áreas que están inundadas, si son áreas que hay electricidad, y un poco cómo poder identificar todas estas necesidades para machar entonces los apoyos, ¿verdad?, y las diferentes iniciativas. Así que mi rol casi siempre ha sido el llegar, ¿verdad?, a montarme en el carro y guiar a, ¿verdad?, por diferentes comunidades rurales que sabemos que es a donde menos llegan los apoyos, a donde menos llegan las ayudas. Esto, ¿verdad? Y un poco también poder tener una conciencia un poco más macro de cómo las necesidades van cambiando, ¿verdad? Porque no siempre las necesidades van a ser las mismas. al inicio, ¿verdad? La necesidad inmediata, agua, comida, ¿verdad? Cuestiones médicas, clínicas, pero ya después de un mes, ya a los dos meses, donde todavía la gente sigue sin electricidad, posiblemente sin acceso a agua, posiblemente todavía hay caminos por los cuales no se pueden pasar, sobre todo con la transportación en Puerto Rico, que es malísima. En Puerto Rico hay transportación en el área metropolitana y no es tan buena. Fuera del área metropolitana no necesariamente existe transportación donde tú puedas llegar a X o Y lugar a buscar el apoyo que necesitas, ¿verdad? Incluso FEMA ponía, ¿verdad?, que llenáramos las cosas online cuando no había señal, no había electricidad, ¿verdad? Entonces, si vives en un área donde no hay señal, tienes que tratar de llegar al pueblo a ver si consigues señal y ver si tienes batería todavía y ver entonces si puedes llenar lo que sea, ¿verdad?, que debes llenar. Y al final del día, no necesariamente eso va a cubrir tus necesidades, ¿verdad? Eso más que nada es una curita, un parcho. Hemos aprendido en todos estos años que es la gente la que nos salva, ¿sabes? Nuestros vecinos, la gente que muchas veces uno ni conoce y llega donde ti, ¿verdad?, con suministro. ¿Verdad? En Puerto Rico mucha gente dice solo el pueblo salva el pueblo. Y pues esa ha sido la práctica constantemente. Así que también, ¿verdad?, luego de varios meses, también tener la conciencia de que pues a lo mejor la necesidad ahora es la salud mental. Ahora la necesidad es que llevemos talleres. Ahora la necesidad, ¿verdad?, es que a lo mejor construyamos algún sistema de recogido de lluvia para poder, ¿verdad?, tener agua en la comunidad, ¿verdad? Así que también el poder acompañar una comunidad a largo plazo es importante y ha sido para mí, ¿verdad?, la práctica, ¿verdad? Muchas veces queremos hacer un montón, pero para mí ha sido importante también como poder identificar una comunidad y poder acompañar esa comunidad a largo plazo, también reconociendo que ese apoyo genera que se brinde una organización comunitaria, ¿verdad? Y que la misma comunidad también pueda aprender a satisfacer sus propias necesidades a futuro.
Gracias. I just wanted to talk about the political history of Puerto Rico, like Puerto Rico the first place where the contraception pill, is that how we say? Mm-hmm. It was tested on black women, poor women, and it was like 50 times stronger than it is right now. We had the pharmaceuticals, we have now the solar panels taking over our land, we have Monsanto taking over all the fertile land that we have to put our, sembrar. We have Vieques, we have Culebra. Vieques is still a place where there's a lot of chemicals, a lot of people are still dying because of it. We have the antennas pool, we have FEMA, we have refugees. And one of the things that for us, they talk about mutual aid in terms of building a transfeminine network, one of the things that were very important to us was to know the needs of the black trans community in Puerto Rico. So we were able to bring the hormone transitions that they needed, while bringing another things that were very scarce, what the people living with HIV and the medications, those things that were not of top priority to the governments, the things that we were able to provide thanks to the network and the organization that we did through the grassroots movement that we had. And another thing that was very important to us, because it had been years of a lot of loss, we have lost a lot of people, so we are currently working, we did a mural of the first black trans woman in Puerto Rico, Amara, which died because of substance problems. And we are focusing on harm reduction. How does that look like, especially in times of disaster? So that part of the grassroots movement, another thing that's very important to build transfeminist network, especially in a place like Puerto Rico, is teaching the groups to organize themselves, how to ask for funding. That's one of the priorities we have. We were never administrators, but we picked up Entreputas, so we're like, you're going to be with our fiscal sponsor, and you're gonna ask for money, and you're gonna get money to do the work that you need to do. That's also very important to do in our communities, to teach our people how to build power, but in sense of material needs. So that to us has been very, very, very important capital center to building a trans feminist network, because there's no trans feminist network, there's no trans people, if there's no work network, if people are not even aware of what they are capable or what the resources are out there. And another very important thing that to us was, and I'm gonna say it again, cash money during times of disaster for trans people, for sex workers were vital to us. And just giving like amounts of money, not $20, $50, like $100, $200, $500, $5,000 in cash to people so they can do what they need to do. To us, that was life and death decisions.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.